Marlene just reminded me that Brother Don, Sister Jan Kapoor is here with us. I'm delighted to see you. But it's so good to have you. We want you to be welcome. And the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Barron, and good evening. I put my jacket there closer if I have to run. I have grandchildren in that, so. Well, that's not the one. No, they're not in that one. Would you look in your Bibles, please, to two portions of Scripture this evening. First in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, and then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke, chapter 3, to begin with, please. Luke, chapter 3, beginning at verse 3. Thank you for your prayers during this week. I'm not where I'd like to be, but I'm a whole lot better than where I was last week. And I thank you for remembering me in your prayers. Luke 3:3 says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" Verse 10. "And the people asked him," that is John, "saying, 'What shall we do?' He answered and saith unto them, 'He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise.' Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, 'Master, what shall we do?' And he saith unto them, 'Exact no more than that which is appointed you.' And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, 'And what shall we do?' And he said unto them, 'Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages.'" Verse 19. "But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison." Luke 23, beginning to read at verse 6. Luke 23, verse 6. Remember, we just read about Herod shutting up John in prison. We go to Herod again. "When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean," that is Jesus. "And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracles done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between each other." I'm sure God will bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. Herod and Pilate became friends because they were both against the Lord Jesus. That's how the world still is today. Whatever else separates them, they are all against the Savior. You would think that because of who the Lord Jesus Christ was, God incarnate, that there would be a tremendous celebration by the people of the earth, those that he had made at his birth. The true heart of mankind is seen by the reception that the Lord Jesus received. No room could be the headline of the paper the next morning were there a Bethlehem Gazette or Guardian or Tribune. No room. God came, and we had no room for him. And while earth, it is true, didn't celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, heaven overflowed. The hillsides of Bethlehem were alight with God's recognition of the birth of his son. He sent a detail from the glory so that men and women, boys and girls, might know that Jesus came. And it has been his desire down through the years that you and I know that Jesus came. And the reason that he came and what good that can do for us. And so, in addition to sending the heavenly delegation, he made sure that Dr. Luke knew that Jesus came and the happenings surrounding his birth. And so we have the story that we read before you tonight. Now, I know this isn't truly, to a lot of people, a Christmas story. Christmas is still a little way away, and we have, Lord willing, some messages for the Christmas week on the birth of the Lord Jesus. God wanted to be sure that forever and ever man would know the way back to him was through his son, who he sent that first Christmas morning. So Dr. Luke gathered all the information together. If you read the first four verses of this book, you'll find out how he put it together, the people from whom he gathered it, and how he was sure it was from God. And then Luke places in his book the people who are going to tell us the story. Luke wasn't there. He got his story from other people. And so he writes about the person who we're going to talk about tonight, John the Baptist. John the Baptist saw Jesus when they were both young men. May have seen him before, we don't know. This is the first recorded time of their meeting. He looked down probably into Jordan while he was baptizing and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." At that same time, God in heaven again opened up the doors of heaven, and a dove came down in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Lord Jesus spoke about himself. He had a special name that he liked to use more than any other name. He called himself the Son of Man. Luke 19 and 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So God made sure that you and I knew that the Lord Jesus came. And he also made sure that if we misunderstood, it would be misunderstanding of our own hearts, and not because he had not given to us the information that we needed. You know, of course, that the Lord Jesus was misunderstood then, and the Lord Jesus is still misunderstood in the world in which we live today. John the Baptist, the forerunner, the one who would come to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus, to, according to Isaiah's prophecy, verse 40, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight a path in the desert, a highway for our God. That's how Isaiah phrases the sentences that go along with the prophecy telling us that the Lord Jesus was coming. Strange word. Sounds like a road construction company. Make straight the highway, the pathway that our God will take as he comes into the world. Actually, it's drawn from what would happen in the days that the Bible was written if a important person, a government official, visited a part of a far-flung empire. If Caesar had come to Judea, they would have built new roads, new pathway, cleared old streets so that they would be a clear and pleasant, an accurate avenue so that he could find the places where he wanted to go. John came so that the Lord Jesus would find a clear and open place, a clear and open highway that he could find his way into your heart. The Lord Jesus would have no difficulty in finding a place into your heart and into mine. The Lord Jesus said that John was greater than any other prophet. I don't really know why he said that. I believe it might be that all the prophets spoke about the coming of the Lord Jesus. John presented the Lord Jesus. So in that light, he was probably considered to be the greatest of the prophets. The Lord Jesus said, of men born to women, there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. If that is true, and if the highway was to be spiritual, what highway did John build? What was John's message? His message is the message that is being preached all over the world tonight. The message is repentance from sin so that we would be able to go back or to reach our God. And so what John did was he came and prepared the hearts of the people to receive the Lord Jesus by telling them some very, very harsh things. Oh, generation of vipers, he called the Jews. They're poisonous snakes. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John didn't have much time to give this message. The Bible scholars that I've read say that they think he preached only for 6 months. And then he was gone. So he preached a message direct from his heart to the people who were listening to him. Isaiah 40:5 says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed when men acknowledge their sin and turn back to God. Luke, we read chapter 3:6. All flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. Now, you could misunderstand that. Some people believe that verses like that teach that all people are saved or are going to be saved. No, people who repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And the way to reach him was repentance in John's day. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus, the way to reach him tonight is repentance of sin, turning your back on sin and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. May I ask you a question? Have you repented? Are you prepared? Will the Lord Jesus find it easy to reach your heart because of the preparation that has been made? I remember as a boy, and I don't remember how old, but the older ones will remember Bill Patterson. He was a big man, big Scottish preacher, fiery preacher, strong voice and strong body. Remember playing down in what used to be the ball field, wasn't where it is now, used to be the grove in front of the school. The school was back in the water. Well, it wasn't in the water then. That's probably where it would be now. And between the post office and the clinic wasn't there either, there was the ball field. We used to play football. Well, you call it soccer. Well, we called it football. I remember one afternoon, he looked like he had his eyes on me the whole day while I was playing football. And sure enough, when it was over, when I started home, this big arm came on top of my small shoulder, and this voice boomed out, Roddy, are you saved? I don't think I even answered him. I was so scared. But he must have known God had been then many times before and many times since, until I one day trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, the Lord Jesus did to the man who was let down by four into a room, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they looked around, the Pharisees did, and said, that's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. So he said to them, I wanted just to say that it's just as easy for me to say thy sins be forgiven thee as to say take up thy bed and walk. And so he turned to the sick man, and he said, take up thy bed and go to thy house. But first of all, thy sins be forgiven thee. He said to a woman in Simon the Pharisee's house. She had come behind him, and with an alabaster box of ointment had begun to wash his feet with her tears and to anoint them with the ointment. He said to her, thy sins are forgiven thee. And Simon had already decided he wasn't a prophet, because he saw her touching him, and he said if he were a prophet, he would know what woman this was. She was a woman of the streets, probably. And the Lord Jesus told him, she's a big debtor, and as a result, she loves much. And he turned to the woman and said, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. First salvation, and then all the goodness of God to follow. The Lord Jesus told the crowd in Luke 13, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Not only do we need to repent, if we don't repent, there are consequences. Eternal, everlasting, painful, separated consequences. What is repentance? Repentance is changing one's mind, going in a different direction. You see, the king was coming. John was about to announce his birth. And the king could not reign over a sinful people unless they changed. And since they would change, he came and died for them. Who did he die for? Well, they have strange names. Look with me at verse 5 of Luke 3. In picture language, John describes the people whom he came to speak to and to whom he would address or introduce the Lord Jesus. Verse 5 says, every valley shall be filled. They are the poor people, the people who are low in life. Next he says, and every mountain and every hill shall be brought low. They are the bigger people, people at least are big in their own eyes. And then he says, the crooked shall be made straight. John was looking, when he was talking, at tax collectors. And if there was anybody that was despised or crooked in their ways, was the publicans, the tax collectors. And then he said, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And he was looking at the soldiers. Remember, the tax collectors and the publicans asked him, Lord, what shall we do? He gave them an answer. But it has nothing to do with salvation. He told the tax collectors to collect no more than was their due. What he was saying was, now you're a Christian. You've come to be baptized. Let your life speak volumes about your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. And since soldiers ill-treated people and were not content with their wages, he said to them, don't mistreat anybody and be content with your wages. But first of all, he said, every valley shall be filled. The Lord Jesus loves low things. He had a lowly mind himself. And he loved to take low things and elevate them. That's what he's done to everyone who has trusted him as their own personal savior. When he first came into Nazareth, the city of his upbringing, he stood in their synagogue and he asked for the scrolls. They gave him what you and I know as Isaiah 61, and he read, he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Are you poor tonight? You say, no, I'm doing pretty good. Oh no, this has nothing to do with your bank account. Are you poor or are you rich toward God? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. That's the riches that John proclaimed. That's the riches that I want to proclaim tonight. Are you rich or are you poor toward God? If you are poor toward God, The Lord Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted tonight? Is something in your home, something in your life, something at your work, something among your friends, and you are staggering beneath the weight of a load that you feel you cannot bear? Even worse, are you staggering beneath the load of your sin? You know what the songwriter said? Are you tired of the load of your sin? Let Jesus come into your heart. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. And you say, well, that leaves me out, Roddy. I'm here with you. I'm out of jail. If you're not a Christian, you are bound by shackles greater than any iron bars. Shackles that you can't break, that you can do absolutely nothing about except through the Lord Jesus. You know what he says? If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed, he came to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach recovery of sight to the blind. Sin blinds. Sin blinds, and those who are blinded by sin have lost their way. The God of this world, the Bible says, has blinded the eyes of them that believe not. Not the eyes of them that believe not, blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in upon them. He came to give recovery of sight to the spiritually blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Whenever I read that phrase, I think of a little boy. He's with his dad down below the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord Jesus has been shown in all his beauty and glory to Peter, James, and John. And when they come down off the mountain, they see this little boy, and the disciples can't cast the demon out of him. And the father explains to the Lord Jesus, he's my only son. And when the devil takes him, it bruises him. And he foams to his mouth. And it hardly ever leaves him. That's the part that sticks in my mind. It's if it's always there, like sin, binding and bruising the sinner. And the Lord Jesus looked at the little boy, and the devil grabbed him and threw him to the ground and bruised him. And the Lord Jesus spoke to the demon, and he left him. And the Lord Jesus picked up the little boy and gave him to his father. It's a beautiful story of what's going to happen one day when you and I get home, fellow Christian. Oh, I know the words are not the same, but the Lord Jesus is going to take us, perhaps in his arms, and take us over to God the Father and say, this is the one for whom I died. I brought him home. I brought her home. May I ask you tonight, will you be there? Will you be one that the Lord Jesus presents to his Father? As his child, he sets at liberty those that are bruised. Every mountain shall be brought low. Every one that is rich or big in their own eyes. Remember the Lord Jesus speaking to the church at Laodicea? That's the church age we live in. Listen to what he says to the professing church of today. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art naked and wretched and poor and miserable and blind. Now that's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself to those who don't know him as Savior. But he doesn't stop there. He says, I have counsel for you. Buy of me gold tried in fire that thou mayest be rich, white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve that thou mayest see. The Lord Jesus raises the valleys. The Lord Jesus brings the mountains low. When he said to those at Jerusalem looking at the eye of the needle. And he said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The disciples said, then nobody can be saved. Remember the reply of the Lord Jesus. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. For this gospel message tonight, I believe the Lord would have me say, there is no one, there is no one whom he cannot save. Doesn't matter how sinful you are. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The crooked ways, he said he would make straight. And he was looking at, John was looking at publicans, tax collectors. Remember one tax collector? He ran down the road because he wanted to see Jesus. I believe Zacchaeus was tired of sin. I believe Zacchaeus had, like many sinners, tried in their own strength to get out of it, to break its bondage, to change the habits. He couldn't. And he decided to see Jesus. He ran up a sycamore tree. The Lord Jesus stopped. Asked Zacchaeus to come down and said, today I'm going to abide at your house. Whatever your difficulty, however crooked your road, the Lord Jesus came by Zacchaeus that day. I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus is here tonight. And the Lord Jesus can save you. What happened to Zacchaeus? He said, the thief said, half of my goods I give to the poor. And that's not all he said. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I'll give it back fourfold. Whom God saves, he changes. Perhaps you're here tonight and you made a profession one time and you're sitting on that profession and saying, I haven't changed really, but I did say I was saved. Whom God saves, he changes. Rough ways, the Bible says, shall be made smooth. And he was looking at the soldiers. Soldiers can be rough men. They probably abuse their power. I know one who may not be considered a soldier, but I can see him standing in front of his jail at Philippi. And he's hearing the news. There's that same old girl's down around the corner making noise, the one with the demon. Only this time she's talking to strangers. I heard what she said. These are the servants of the Most High God who show unto us the way of salvation. And Paul took that for a few days, and then one day he said to the demon, go in the name of the Lord Jesus. Her master's made a lot of money out of her. Off her illness, off her, the poverty of her soul. And they came and dragged Paul and Silas to the rulers, who dragged them to the magistrates, who beat them without trying them, and threw them in prison. And receiving a charge, the jailer took them and put them into the inner prison. These are the ones who the girl was talking to. He made their feast, passed in the stocks, beaten and bruised. They started a choir practice around midnight. They prayed and sang praises unto God, and the doors opened. The earthquake came. Everything was loose, and the man would have killed himself. And Paul saw him. He must have saw him or been told by God, and he said, don't do any harm to yourself. We are all here. That big Roman jailer, on his knees, trembling, said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I want what I've seen you do. I want your Savior to be my Savior as well. Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And the man who threw them in prison and fastened their feet in stocks, you know what he's doing? Whom God saves, he changes. He's down on his knees before Paul and Silas with a basin of water washing their wounds. He brings up the valleys. He takes the hills and mountains low. He makes crooked things straight. He makes rough things smooth. I see a centurion standing near the cross of the Lord Jesus. And he's probably officiated over lots of executions, seen lots of people
as they respond to crucifixion. And he's never seen one before not fight for his life. Because that's not the way of man. He's never heard one pray for his executioners. He's never heard one speak to his fellow victims so graciously. He's never known one to refuse a drink that would ease his pain. He's never heard one call God his Father. He's never seen one surrender so willingly to death until today. And he saw all of that and more, and he said, truly, this was the Son of God. I don't know about you. I believe I'll see the centurion in heaven. He changes those that he saves, the Lord Jesus. You've seen them. You've seen drunkards give up their drink. We have friends who are drug addicts who have surrendered their lives to the Lord Jesus and have been marvelously changed. Thieves who steal no more. Idolaters who now worship God. Changed people. Some people won't change. And as I close, let me tell you that Herod never changed. We took the story over to Luke 23. Pilate's tired of dealing with Jesus. He can get nowhere. He wants to let him go, but he can't let him go because they say he's not Caesar's friend if he lets him go. And he has to be Caesar's friend. He hears about Herod and he sends the Lord Jesus to Herod and he says to himself, oh, I'm so glad. And Herod's glad because he's heard about Jesus. And he wants to see some miracle done by him. The Lord of life and glory stands before him. And he says, come on, do something. And he's met with a cold, I believe, stare of the Son of God. Won't you say something? Not a word. Have any idea why? Herod killed the one who was the voice crying in the wilderness. The one who was to announce the birth and the coming of the Lord Jesus. He's still God's voice in John. And now he wants to hear it from Jesus. God said no. God said no. Too late. Too late. He had sinned away his day of grace. And for him, there was no more hope. I've got good news for you tonight. There was hope. There is life. For a look at the crucified one, there is life at this moment for thee, O look, sinner, look unto him, and be saved unto him who died on the tree. Are you prepared? Ere this meeting comes to a close, are you prepared to repent? If I told you that was easy, I would not be telling you the truth. It means you must turn your back on what you are. A sinner. It means you must confess that that's what you are. And not say it, confess it and mean it. And you must turn to the Lord Jesus. His arms are open. He's ready. And he's willing. And he's able to save. And if you come to him by faith, with that attitude, he said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Are you prepared to do that tonight? If you don't, you will look up to him at something called a great white throne. No, he won't be silent. No, he'll have some words for you. The most awful words that will ever come from the mouth of any person. Depart from me. I never knew you. Your day of grace will be closed. Your opportunities for salvation will be lost. But now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the Lord Jesus. We thank you that in loving kindness, Jesus came. He came because he loved us. He came because he wanted us to be home with him one day. And he knew what our sins would, where our sins would take us. And he didn't want us to spend an eternity in the burnings without hope. We pray tonight that this message, feebly given, will be by thy Holy Spirit taken into the hearts of those who are here without the Lord Jesus. And tonight we pray they will surrender to him and find in him their only Savior.